Good morning.
We pray everybody's doing well today on a beautiful sunny sky. Good day to be in the house of the Lord. Good day to be sure to visit mom, call mom, whatever the case may be. And we'll talk a little bit more about moms here in just a little bit. But for right now, look at somebody, give them a wave, give them a smile that says, hey, look, I am glad that you're here with us today. And we're glad that you're here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth this morning at Central Baptist Church. And by the way, if you're part of our online audience, we're so grateful to have you on board watching with us today. As always, if you're part of our online audience, we're not going to let you get away from greeting somebody. Our very own Dr. John Cazito is monitoring our online audience. Be sure to say, hey, Dr. John. We appreciate all that he does as he's in the house here, but that also gives you a voice and you know that somebody's with you. If you have any questions that you may need answered or whatever the case may be, you got Dr. John as your liaison there. And I'm so grateful for him each and every day. Again, happy Mother's Day to the mothers. We'll mention you here shortly in just a few minutes. We're not going to just glaze over you. But like I say, we want to make sure that as the Lord says, we do things decent and in order. So let's look to the Lord in the word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Now, Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful once again for this opportunity to be able to gather together. Lord, we thank you for the special time that we have together today. Lord, as we honor moms, and Lord, we ask, Father, that not only would you give us wisdom and guidance and counsel in being able to celebrate moms today, Lord, but we also think about those who are not celebrating today. Lord, today is a very tough day. We remember them as well. We pray, Father, for your counsel upon them. Father, we pray that you would provide the comfort that you promise us through your word. And Lord, as we come together to worship you, Lord, we keep in mind that that's really why we're here. We thank you for the roles that you have given each and every one of us. Father, we thank you for the roles that you give moms in bringing forth children and helping to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So today, Father, I pray that you will help us in all that we do to, first of all, magnify you, but then, Lord, also to honor the moms that are within the sound of my voice today. So help us, Lord, as we worship you today, and may everything that we do honor and glorify you as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to 247, Come Thou Almighty King. Please stand as we sing. From the perspective of daughters and sons thinking about their mothers and the testimony they were in their lives. So because of you, thank you.
Amen.
as the choir makes their way back down, we give them a little time to get around. We're actually going to be looking at passages today that are, if I can get all my papers together here, passages that are going to come out of the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. That's one of the Old Testament passages. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and look over to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to spend a little bit of time in 2 Kings today, talking about how moms should act and how they should react, the wisdom that comes from mothers, particularly when those mothers are guided and placed by our Lord. You know, I've said before, it is a privilege when the Lord has entrusted you with a child. That is something that is a privilege that God has given mothers and given them the opportunity by which to be called mom. And I'm going to make another comment about that, but as the choir makes their way in here, we want to take this moment to recognize, as we always say, the moms in the house. So we have a little something for you, as always, just a little something to say that we do appreciate you. Now, don't worry, you're not going to put it on eBay and get rich and retire or anything, but just a little way for Central Baptist Church to be able to say, hey, we love you and we appreciate you. So if you are a mom that's here, and it doesn't matter whether you're one of ours, if you are a mom, whether you're visiting, whether you, would you please stand at this particular moment? Just go ahead and stand on up. We got something for you, and I'm going to just say, as you receive your little gift, you can sit down. That way they'll know who they've gotten and who they haven't gotten. But just a little something to say how much we love you and how much we appreciate you, and how glad we are that you are here with us today in the house of the Lord to take these moments to be able to worship our Lord. I know Mother's Day is often one of those special days where if your children are out of town, sometimes they come in. Sometimes they even make their way in from Texas to visit mom along the way. I said before, we used to do things like, you know, who maybe had come the furthest, but it used to be popular. How many of you all remember when you'd be in church and the pastor would say, today we want to recognize the oldest mother? How many of y'all remember that? I learned over time that's not wise to do. I kept thinking, yeah, maybe it's just that we live in a little bit of a different day and age, but it's just not really a good idea to pinpoint an age, particularly when it comes to be the one that is the oldest mom among us. So I will let you all keep that as a secret, and regardless of your age, we are so glad that you are joining us here today to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And one of the things that I've often said before, and I just kind of want to make this clear today as well, and then I'm going to take an opportunity to say a prayer for our mothers. But you know, as Mother's Day is here today, we're reminded of remarkable women, you know, who have shaped our lives with their love, with their sacrifice, and with unwavering support. This special occasion today provides us with a beautiful opportunity to celebrate mothers and grandmothers and mother figures who have blessed us with their presence and with their guidance. And here at Central Baptist, we hold a deep appreciation for the importance of family, and we recognize the very profound role that mothers play in nurturing and guiding their loved ones. Their strength, their wisdom, their compassion reflect Christ's love for us, and it enriches our lives in countless ways. Now, amidst the joyous celebration of Mother's Day, we're also mindful that for some, this day evokes feelings of longing, grief, or even heartache. You know, you probably know somebody who has faced challenges on the journey to parenthood, or those who mourn the loss of their beloved mothers at this time of the year. But I just ask right now if you will join me in praising the Lord for the mothers that he has placed in our lives, while also praying for those who may be hurting on Mother's Day. We wish you a very blessed Mother's Day, filled with the love of Christ, and also gratitude for the women who reflect his nurture and care in each of our lives. Would you give all of our moms a round of applause today? I thank you so much, and I'm tickled to death. It's been a long time. I do have the privilege this year. Moms have a lot of things that go on in their lives. There's one of the key things that I think personifies mothers very often is the term sacrifice. And this has been like the first time I think in about 32 years that I've had an opportunity to actually be with my mother on Mother's Day, because my mom is here and she's very, very special to me. I know she's very special to you guys as well, and I get to point her out because I'm here and you're not. So for the first time in about 32 years, I get to be with my mother today on Mother's Day, and I say it's a sacrifice because she knows that the Lord called her son to preach the gospel message, and Mother's Day always falls on a Sunday, and we are not in close proximity to one another. So she did a lot like Hannah. She released her boy to the Lord. And even though that sometimes that may be filled with tears, the reward will be out of this world. But today we get to celebrate together, as well as my mother-in-law who is here. So we have a little family reunion today. And I know some of y'all are saying, well, good, that means that y'all probably have lunch planned, so maybe I'll hurry up. And maybe you will be right. Maybe you will be right. I'm sure my wife said something real special back there just now. I don't know. But anyway, moms, we wish you all a tremendous Mother's Day, and we're so happy that you chose to spend this moment, this opportunity with us. So without any further ado, I want us to look at passages in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. This is not going to be an unfamiliar passage to you, but I think it gives a personification of a mother who is hitting some trying times in her life. There's a mother that along the way, life took a bad turn for her. Now, you know how it goes. For every one of us, you know, you can pinpoint those days when you got up and all was most right with the world. It was a really, really good day, and before sundown, your life changed forever. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You know and understand the different things that had taken place and the different things that have occurred that are life-changing things. And sometimes you don't really know, you know, how to handle those things. And such is the case in the mother that we're going to look at in 2 Kings chapter 4. Look with me, if you would, 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Yes, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her with her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons live on the rest. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be a powerful presence in this place today. Lord, I realize that today is a special day. Today is a time that we will spend with moms, but Father, I pray that you will give us a great picture of a great example of the mother that we're going to look at in your word today. Help us, Father, to be very attentive to the movement of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our hearts and lives today. And Lord, may we hear the tailor-made message that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray you'll use me as your messenger. Father, I am nothing without you. I pray the words that come from this pulpit truly would be your words to resonate in the ears of your children. So Lord, bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we look at these particular passages, first of all, one of the things you have to understand is that here is a woman who is in trouble. Now, if you read into this, you will see that this isn't something that has just happened. She didn't get to this particular place in just a moment's notice. Now, I'm going to point a few things out as we go through this text once again. It says, first of all, it tells you a little bit about who she is. And it says, there was a certain woman, verse 1, of the wives of the sons of the prophets, cried out to Elijah saying, your servant. So we realize this lady's husband was a servant of Elisha the prophet. And she says to him in verse 1, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. Now, she's kind of laid out a case. She's saying, you know, Elisha, that my husband has passed away. He was one of your servants. He walked with you. He helped to serve you. He was a godly man, and now he's gone. He has passed away. So we can establish that up front. First of all, that creates a whole situation in and of itself, doesn't it? Back in that day, they didn't have Social Security. They didn't have relief funds. They didn't have ways to be able to sign up for this type of assistance. It was up to the church to be able to take care of folks. In fact, if you fast forward into the New Testament, I believe it's Acts chapter 6, you will see the appointment of the first deacons, and the reason that they were appointed was because there were widows who were being left out in the daily administration of the food. So that's where it came from. So the church was to take care of them. But this is a lady who wasn't even looking for the church to take care of her. She was going to an even higher power. And she said, my husband, you knew him. He was one of your servants. He's gone now. But then she puts in an even more critical caveat at the end of verse 1. She says, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Now, sometimes I've actually had people before that said to me, they're like, okay, that seems like she just shifted gears in the middle of what she's talking about. No, she didn't. She didn't just change gears in the middle of what she was trying to say. She was pointing out the fact that she had no means of support anymore. Her husband had passed away. She was pointing out that she was in trouble with some creditors, or a creditor. It is singular in the Word of God. So there was somebody that she owed money. Remember a minute ago when I said this isn't something that just came upon her quickly. Evidently, she got a MasterCard or a Visa after her husband passed away. And evidently, she had been doing the only thing that she could do when she went to the grocery store. She was swiping that card or tapping it or whatever you want to do with it. So essentially what was happening is she was charging her way through life. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? And the reason she was because she had no other means by which to support her children or herself. Some of us in this room, some of us that are watching have been there before. You've been overextended on credit because there was no other way that you felt like you could make it at that point. The problem with that was you were just digging a deeper hole every day, every day, every day. There was no end to the means of what was taking place there. Now that point's going to become very critical here in just a moment. So she goes, and now at this particular point, the way things worked back in that day is that her creditor said, we're done with a tab. Y'all remember tabs? Some of y'all that grew up in the country, remember the country store? You could go by there and you'd say, you know, just put that on my tab, and then you'd go by and you'd pay the tab. Try that today. That ain't happening, is it? No pay, no play. Okay? So essentially, the creditors are saying, look, it's time for you to pay your bill. She's saying, I can't pay my bill. Well, there was another way by which to take care of the fact that she had a debt that she owed, and some of you all may have heard this term before called the indentured servant. Remember that? So essentially what happened was the creditor that this woman owed says, that's not a problem. I'll just take you two boys. And they will work for me until such time that your debt would be paid off. In other words, pack your bags. You're going to be moving in with me. You're not going to see mama for a while, because for however long it takes to manage this debt down. And by the way, the mother had no plan. She had no income. There was no relief in sight. It was just going to continue to pile up and pile up. Can you see the desperation here? So what happens, notice the latter part of verse 1. It says, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. That was to pay for that debt. Mom became desperate at that point, didn't she? She doesn't want to lose, her boys. And by the way, I believe with all my heart, these boys were young. You know, you have to think that even as you get into the New Testament, when you talk about Mary and Joseph and when they were married, it was believed that they were teenagers. I don't believe these boys were yet teenagers. Because if they were, then they would have had their own households. They would have been able to have a job. They would have been able to have helped out and helped support mom. I believe these were little fellas. And yet they were going to be working the farm. They were going to be doing whatever. Mama was about to lose them. Mom, could you think about losing your children to somebody else in a situation like this? So you all of a sudden see how desperate this situation is. It's not like just, oh, okay, well, they'll be there a few weeks or they're going to camp and they're coming back. No, there was no end in sight. And this was a fearful mother in that regard. She has gotten herself into a mess. And whether, you know, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, she was just a poor money manager. No, she wasn't a poor money manager. You have to have money to manage to be a poor money manager. She didn't even have that. She was doing the best she could. And she didn't want to lose her son, so she goes to the place where she knows that she should go. Now, she went to Elisha, who was the prophet. You have to remember that back in the Old Testament and before Christ, things were different. You and I are privileged to be able to say, our Father in heaven, and he looks at you and calls you by name. He says, yes, Roy. They didn't have that privilege back in the Old Testament day. So she went to the prophet, Elisha, and she's like, I got a problem. I got a big problem. This is what's going on. This is what is taking place. So what do we see? So verse 2, we start to see how it unfolds. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? I kind of like this. Let me put that in a modern day term. What do you want me to do about it? I mean, what are you asking? Yeah, not a mind reader here either. She has given Elisha a lot of really good data, hadn't she? But she has still yet to ask him for anything in particular, has she? So Elisha says, okay, I hear your predicament. What do you want me to do? But then he understands the predicament. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, tell me, what do you have in the house? Now, I have a feeling, like I said, that over time, this woman has probably sold everything she had to try to get food. She got to the point where she has nothing else to sell. There's nothing in this house. Some of you have been to that point of desperation in your life where you have nothing. And you know what that's like. She has no place to turn. She is borrowed to the hilt. She's about ready to lose her sons. There is no end in sight. And the prophet says, what do you have in the house? Now, most of us, our first reaction would be, what do you mean, what have I got in the house? If I had stuff in the house, I would have already sold it to pay the debt, to buy food, to whatever. I got nothing in the house. So what does she say? Verse 2. Elisha says, tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. That's it. I mean, could you imagine that? It'd be like a real estate agent's dream in showing a house. It's empty. There's nothing. It's a home inspector's dream because you ain't got to move nothing. There's nothing there. She says, there is nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Oil was a big deal back then. It was used for a lot of things. It was used for lamps and lanterns. It was used to cook with. And I mean, she didn't have no 55-gallon drum of it. She has a little jar of oil. So I want you to get that picture in your mind. Verse 3, Elisha begins to tell her the solution to her problem. Now remember, Elisha is the voice of the Lord to her at this particular point. You and I can go to the Lord, but we have to remember, we've got to listen to what the Lord has to tell us. Our problem is very often we don't like what the Lord has to say to us, do we? That's more than often our problem. So Elisha, being the voice of the Lord in this lady's predicament, says in verse 3, go borrow vessels from everywhere from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. I believe there is a hint in this verse. And I'm going to circle back to that in just a moment. What is the hint? He said, go borrow vessels. Now, I believe that this lady went out and borrowed vessels. But you know what? I believe that there was somebody else that was involved in going out and getting vessels, don't you? Who else do you think was involved in going out and getting vessels? The little fellas. I mean, I'm serious. I'm picturing these cats about this big, maybe. I may be wrong about that. That's the gospel according to Roy. But I felt like if they were older in their teenage years, then they could have gone to work. I mean, Joseph and Mary supposedly were considered to be 13 years old when they were married. So I'm figuring these guys are little. Now, how do you turn down a little chap when he comes and knocks on your door and says, can I borrow some pots? You got any pots that me and mama can borrow for a while? You're going to give the kid the pot anyway just because you love him, just because he's a little kid. It's like Girl Scout cookies. I saw a cartoon said I was a year clean, and then my dealer showed up, and it was a Girl Scout with all the Girl Scout cookies. So I'm sure they went out, and these little fellas and mama go out, and they start borrowing pots. Now, I want you to hold that thought for just a minute, because I also believe, and according to the word of God, that God does not bless laziness. Because the hint that I was telling you about is what's at the end of this verse. It says, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. I want them to be empty. And it says this, do not gather just a few. When you read that, what does that mean? Now, you and I have read the end of this story. Imagine you don't know the end of the story. Yeah, there comes a point in a time when you're about ready to quit, aren't you? You're like, well, I've already been down this street. My feet hurt. I've had a long day. That's enough. I'm going to go ahead and fast forward a little bit, because the blessing that God gave was in direct proportion to not only the obedience that was placed, but also the quantity of work that they did so he could do the miracle. Now, hold that thought. I'm going to point it out here in just a minute. But there was a hint. He said, go out and get pots. Don't just get a few. Listen, if you got a tractor trailer truck, go down to Waccamaw and get everything they got and bring it back. Don't just quit because your feet hurt. Don't just quit because you have had to make trips back and forth to the house. It probably looked like a pottery consignment shop at this lady's house. Very interesting. Do not gather just a few. Then verse 4, he says, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Now, I want to pause right there. The prophet says that you go into a place and you close the door behind you. That's where you and God are going to meet. But there was somebody included in that. And who else was in that room? It was her, God, and who else? The boys. This was a mother who included her sons in the godly acts so that they could see it, so she could model faithfulness, so she could model obedience. Not only was it that she brought them in to see what God was going to do, she also utilized them in going out and helping to gather the pots. They were a part of it. How many times have we said, God, I want to see your hand move, and I want to be a part of what you've got going on. Lord, I want to see you move in a great way. And oh, by the way, I don't want to watch it from the sidelines. I want to be in on it. Because I promise you that when you are, you don't ever want to come out of the game. He says in verse 4, when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. And then she's given some specific directions. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Now, for me, I think at this particular point, there might have been a little bit of confusion. How much oil did she say that she had? A jar. You can consider it however big you want. I would think that it would be something she could probably hold in her hand. Now she is setting amidst the pottery factory. And the directions are, take your oil and dump it in the pots. But now did you get, it says, look at verse 4, in about the middle of it. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. She's probably going, this ain't gonna take long. Because all I got's this. And where does he get full ones? I don't even have enough oil in my hand to fill one, much less the rest of these. And yet, what did she do? She took that little jar of oil and she began to pour it in a pot and 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 pour it in a pot. Where's it coming from? It looked like a magic trick. I mean, think about it for a minute. You know, she's probably sitting there looking at that thing going, I mean, look, this actually happened right in front of her eyes. So now she takes something that's the size of her hand and she fills up a pot about the size of that plant right there. That's bizarre in and of itself, isn't it? And say, so what? Now go back. What were the instructions? And set aside the full ones, plural. What does plural mean? More than one. So she tells the boys, both of y'all might want to get on that one and move it over out of the way. Bring me another one. Another pot comes in. And she begins to pour it and pour it and pour it and pour it and pour it until it's full. And she keeps on going until every pot that has been collected is full. So let me go on down to verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, vessels, more than one, were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Now, in other words, every vessel, every pot that was collected is now full of oil. Remember what I said earlier when there was a hint in what the prophet said to her when he said, collect the pots and don't just get a few. Do you realize that the essentially the size of the miracle that was done was based on the size of her faith and belief and work that was put in to it going forward. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have to work for the miracle, but I want you to notice something in particular about the latter part of verse 6. In other words, when all of the pots were full, notice the latter part. It says, so the oil ceased. Now, you've heard me preach on this passage before. What do you think would have happened had there been another pot? Do you think there would have been more oil? Yes. Yeah, if there'd have been 10 more pots, do you think there would have been 10 more pots of oil? Yes, I do. The oil did not run out until the pots ran out. So let me tell you something. I want to encourage you right now. When God tells you to go collect pots, get some pots. Get a bunch of them because he's going to bless you in an incredible kind of way. Here's a mother who still, at this point, has no idea what's going to happen other than the fact that she has seen the Lord do something really cool in her life. Okay, great. Now I got a whole bunch of oil. How's that going to keep the creditor from coming and getting my son? Neat trick, God, but how's that going to help me? Well, you find out because verse 7 says this. Then she came and told the man of God. She only had instructions one step at a time. So she goes back to Elisha, verse 7, and he says, go sell the oil and pay your debts. Now, I'm going to pause right there for just a second. In other words, there was going to be enough profit to be made off of the sale of that oil to pay off her debt to the creditor so that she could keep her sons. That sounds cool, doesn't it? You're like, wow, man, God showed up. Yeah, God showed up all right, but that's not the end of that verse, is it? Go back and look at it. Sell the oil and pay your debts, and that hooks something together, and you and your sons live on the rest. In other words, not only was there going to be enough money made off of that oil to pay off the creditors, there would be enough money made off of that oil for her and her sons to be taken care of. Now that is cool, don't you think? That is how God shows up, when you trust Him, when you follow Him. You know, so many times what happens, and we're really good at that in this day and age, and we'll sit back and we will say, you know, well, we want to help somebody out. And there have been times that it's been sad from a pastoral and a benevolent standpoint when you say, okay, we want to help somebody out, but are we just putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound? If we help this person, if we pay these bills, is this going to be a situation that's going to happen and reoccur next month? Yeah, are we just prolonging the inevitable? Are we just prolonging the agony? How can we help somebody not be in that situation again? And I think that's what God wants more than anything, don't you? Because you know what? He said, here's the answer to your prayers. You will have enough when you sell this oil to pay off your creditors. It means you'll get to keep the boys. And you will have more by which to live on. In other words, you don't have to use the Visa or the MasterCard anymore. You can pay cash. You can go out and do what you need to do. Now, how long did that last? I don't know. But I know this. There was money left over for her to live on. How do I know that? Because the Word says it. And you and your sons live on the rest. That meant there was leftover money for them to live on. So why do I say all that, and how does that relate to moms? This was a desperate mom, was it not? This was a mom who knew where to go when she had a problem. She went to the Lord with it. Here was a mom who the Lord led one step at a time. You've been in those situations, mom. You have been there. You have been up late at night when the fever hasn't broken. You did it back in the years before the many miracle drugs to bring temperatures down. We went through a lot of things, man. My generation, I said before, we rode bicycles and we jumped ramps and we didn't have helmets and we didn't look like the Michelin man when we went out to ride the bicycle. Yeah, we understood cuts and bruises and all those different kinds of things. But moms also understood that when the fever was there, there were other problems that could come up. You've sat up at night and you've held those children's hands and you have been concerned about it. And you have cried out to God audibly. You have cried out to God silently. Lord, take care of my child. It's out of my hands. There's nothing that I can do. And God has showed up in your lives in an incredible way. It's not something that you parade around as a banner. It's the times when you didn't know what was going to happen to your children that you cried out to God and God showed up. Sometimes God had to shake you a little bit. Excuse me, sometimes God had to shake your children a little bit. Amen? And sometimes you had to watch God shake your children a little bit, right? That ain't fun. Moms will come to the rescue in a heartbeat. And sometimes you just got to let God do what God does, and you got to listen to Him one step at a time, one prayer at a time, and you have to trust Him, and you have to pay attention to what He's saying. Because for some of you today, He may be telling you to go out and collect pots. And not just a few of them. And if God's telling you that, He's got something big coming down the highway. And the size of what God may do could be directly proportionate to your obedience. Do you want to limit the size of a miracle God can do in your life? Pay attention to what He's saying to you. Maybe He's telling you to go out and grab some pots. Maybe He's telling you not just to get a few. And you don't even know why you're doing it. Oftentimes, God will do things and you have no clue. You're like, God, were you paying attention to what I was telling you was going on? You ever been there? I mean, I'm sure this woman probably sat back and said, that's great. What does that have to do with the creditor coming to get my two boys? You want me to go get pots and pour oil in it? Woo! I'm in a mess here and you're not listening to me. And you know what? You know what sometimes we do? Sometimes we go, thank you, and walk away and never do a single thing. Because you think the person that told you that's crazy. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's the Holy Spirit, whether it's wise counsel, you sit back and say, well, I took my problem to them, and that was useless. Was it? Maybe it wasn't as useless as you think it was, because God wants to do something that oftentimes you sit back and go, I don't know if you heard what I just said. I'm getting ready to lose my boys and you want me to go pot collecting. Come on, man. There's a reason for it. What are the steps God wants you to take to see his hand move in an incredibly mighty way? You see, this is a picture of a lady and a scripture of a lady and her boys who she was in trouble, but she knew where to go. She sought the proper wisdom from God Almighty through the prophet, of course. There was an answer that was put out there. She was faithful and obedient to follow it. And in the end, God showed up. Not the way she thought he was going to show up. Y'all ever have God show up in a way that you thought that God wasn't going to show up at all? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then God showed up. I'm sure she was probably going, okay, now I got a whole bunch of oil. What does that have to do? They're still coming to get my sons. And the prophet said, now you go out and sell that oil, and you will have enough money to pay the creditor when he shows up at your doorstep. You will also have enough money to put food on your table and clothes on your back as you go forward, because you were obedient. How many times have you and I been told to go get pots? And you know what? Maybe reluctantly we went and gathered a few of them, and then we sat back and said, man, I wish I'd have got more pots. Not because you were greedy, but because you didn't realize what it was that God wanted you to do. But there's always an indicator. Go get pots, and what is it that it said? Not just a few. That should be the red flag. Get a bunch of them. Moms, when God is telling you to do something, even though it seems desperate in the lives of your children, follow what the Spirit tells you. And in the end, you will see God show up in an incredible way. This was a mother who knew where to go in the time of need. This is a mother who found the answers to her need was right in her home. She didn't have to go out necessarily for that. The answer was the oil was right there. The vessels were outside. And this was a mother who found that the possibilities are unlimited when you allow God to use what you have. I love what God said to Moses back in the day. Remember what he said to him? He asked him a question. He said, what's in your hand? Remember what was in his hand? It was his staff. It was the rod. But it was more than just a staff. For Moses, it represented the power and the presence of God. What is in your hand? God has given you what you need to accomplish what needs to be taking place in your life. Whatever you have is enough for God to use to do some incredible things. What is it that you have in your house that God is wanting to do something incredible with in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your children? He wants to do incredible things. We still serve a God who wants to do some incredible things if we will just get out of the way and let him, if we will just be obedient, if we will just stop saying, Lord, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because don't we do that? Yeah, right, Lord, this is dumb. I don't want to do that. That's pretty stupid. That don't make sense. Yeah, one of the things I found out is that most of the time when God shows up, it don't make sense to us, does it? He's got his own way of doing things. I've said it like this. There's 100% of the time when God shows up, 100% of the time, it's not the way I thought that he was going to show up. It was not. He didn't do what I thought he was going to do, and yet it was far better than anything we could have ever imagined. So my question for you is this today. Moms, we're grateful for you. We are thankful, particularly when it comes down to your example of these things in our lives. Some of you are on various areas of your journey. You know, by the way, I want to say this. Just because they're not toddlers in your household doesn't mean you love them any less, right? I mean, they're still your children. if they're 60 or 70 years old and God has given you long life, that 60 and 70 year old, still your son, still your daughter. You still love them. You still pray for them. You're still concerned about them. And you still need to turn them over to God and let God answer your prayers. He still wants to do incredible things. What an example this mother is. We could have gone a whole bunch of places in the scripture and talked about godly mothers. We could have gone to Proverbs 31 and talked about the virtuous mother and those particular things. But I like getting down there where the rubber meets the road, because this is where we live today, isn't it? Everybody's got something going on. The question is, are we carrying it to the one that has the answers? Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our invitation hymn in just a moment. My first question is, have you put your hand in the hand of the one who is Savior of your life? Have you taken the moments? Have you taken the opportunity to give your life to Jesus? It's not good enough just to have the head knowledge. There's a lot of people that know a lot about Jesus but don't know Jesus. I'm asking you, if you have said, Lord, I surrender. I give my life to you. I ask you to forgive my sins. I'm no longer mine. Lord, I love you, and I give you my life. That's what he's doing. He's knocking on your heart's door. Is that where you are today? Listen, if that's you, I am and begging you at this particular point, just stop what you're doing and pray. Lord, I understand that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life and save my soul. Forgive my sins, Lord, and help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I will make you the promise that if you meant that with your heart, that's the very first step. That's not the last step. It's not checking off all your boxes. He says, now you're one of my children. You need to live like the family lives. You are carrying on the family name. I want you to live like one of my children. And that's where discipleship comes in. Now, don't let that word scare you. I've said this so many times. If you do discipleship right, it's fun. It's not going, oh, geez, I'm going to go listen to another. No. Ask some of these guys that are doing discipleship now. They'll fight you for their discipleship group, and they'll fight you for each other. We're doing life together. We're learning. We're being discipled. What a cool thing. And if you have trusted the Lord, he says, the first thing I want you to do is follow me in believer's baptism. That's the first thing I want you to do. Not because baptism saves, it doesn't, but because baptism says this is my public profession that I have trusted Jesus. I am buried to sin. I am raised in the likeness of his image. Do you need to be baptized? Quit fooling around. Yeah, I don't care. You have people sitting back going, well, I'm 70 or 80 years old. I don't care if you're 100 years old. We'll get you baptized. Don't worry about it. I won't break your back, I promise. I mean, I baptized quadriplegics before. Come on. Help me. Help me help you. Quit making excuses. Now's the time. Now is the accountability. You come say, hey, look, preacher, I need to be baptized. I'll say, fantastic. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. We're going to fill up the tub, and we're going to get it done. But that's on you. What's the Spirit telling you? Maybe God's called you to be a part of this church. Next week, we will celebrate 60 years of Central Baptist Church in this community. Because those who have gone before us saw God's vision. All of you are here today because of them. What a legacy. What a legacy. That's not to mention those that have gone out, that are in other places now. Maybe God's called you to be a member of this church. Membership means something. Yeah, that's one thing I don't like about newfangled church. We just show up and you're part of us. No, I don't like that. There ought to be some criteria. Have you trusted Christ, number one? Have you been baptized, number two? Has God called you to put your name on the line and say, right here, I want you to serve through this church? It means something here at Central Baptist. What is it that God's put on your heart? Listen, any of those things, you come talk to me about during our invitation hymn. I'm not going to church things up. Invitation hymn is just a time for you to make those decisions. Don't worry about all them people. You'll be talking to me. They'll be behind you. Okay? They won't see you. So when the organ starts to play, when you stand up and start to sing, if any of those things resonated with you that the Spirit, not Roy, that the Spirit put on your heart, you come down here and let me know, and we will take the steps in the right direction. Would you do that as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 312, Softly and Tenderly. As your eyes are closed, as our invitation continues on, do not allow the moment of the Holy Spirit to get away from you at this particular point. What is God telling you? Listen, you don't have to deal with me, but I am begging you to deal with the Holy Spirit. Deal with what God has placed in your life at this particular point, that it will change you forevermore. And watch what God can do. He's still wanting to do incredible things. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask that our ushers prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, as we come to you now, we once again honor the fact that everything that we have comes from you. And Lord, you have asked us to be stewards, which means it's not really ours. I pray, Father, that as it comes time for us to give back that small portion that you have asked us to do, that, Lord, that we would do so with encouraging thoughts, and Lord, to be the cheerful giver that you've asked us to be, realizing that it's all yours. Help us to be proper stewards today as we return the tithe and offering, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jim and Amy. I always sit back, and every time I hear you guys play, I always think the horn plays on. And a lot of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's a legacy horn that's still serving the Lord, and what a beautiful job you guys do with that. Jim, I'll compliment you later, but she's, yeah, it's Amy, you know. But we love them both. We appreciate them. Listen, let me give you a couple things, and then we'll get out of here. As always this year, you'll notice back in the back, and we got a few more of them this year, the baby bottles. This helps the pregnancy network. What we do is we take these baby bottles, and then between Mother's Day and Father's Day, you take these home with you, and you'll collect your loose change or whatever. We bring them back on Father's Day. We turn them over to I still call it the Crisis Pregnancy Center, but it's the Pregnancy Network. These funds are actually used to provide ultrasounds for those women that are considering abortions or considering ending the lives of their children. There is a staggering statistic that will say once a lady actually sees this child by way of ultrasound, they are, I want to say, don't quote me on the percentage, but 9 out of 10 of them do not carry through with an abortion once they see that child. That's what the money in these bottles goes to. So on your way out, in the narthex back there, there's a box of these baby bottles. Don't try to feed any of your children with them or anything, but you can keep that around where you can put any of your loose change or dollar bills or checks, whatever you want to put in it, and we will make sure that it goes to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Now, if you wind up putting a check in there, I'm not exactly sure. It won't go to us. It would be going to them because they get all of it. All we do is handle it and take it down there to them. So don't make it out to Central Baptist, okay? Make it out to, and it may say on this little card here, it's got a little QR code and whatnot on it. So be sure to take a look at that. Pick one of those up on your way out today. we will not be having evening worship services. We want you to spend time with your mama today or spend time recalling the great times that you had and the godly influence that she was in your life if your mom is already with the Lord. Don't forget Monday, Steve Kelly's D-Life group, FLC 116 next door will be where they're meeting. And then on Tuesday, our blood drive is from 2:30 to 6 o'clock. If you could help out with that, give an arm, lend a pint, as the old boy would say. You can talk to Katie, and she could let you know what needs to happen there. Also, every Wednesday, don't forget, there is a 10 o'clock a.m. Men's fellowship breakfast. That's what it is. There's no agenda other than to come and eat and grow the relationship. And I know those guys have a great time as they're over there just learning about each other. David will probably tell you a little bit more about this, but next Sunday is our homecoming. It is our 60th anniversary. We would love for you to come and to be a part of that. Dave will probably tell you a little bit more about that, so keep that on your radar. We will be having a meal, and we'll let you know a little bit more about that. If Dave don't, we'll get word out to you. So that's next Sunday, 60th anniversary. And then also, as a reminder for those who attend the Sunday night adult Bible study, starting June the 2nd, instead of meeting in here, that Bible study class is going to meet in Classroom 1, which will be down that hall and on the left, all the way down and on the left. Is that right, David? Okay. And he can speak to more about that if more needs to be spoken to about that. Also, there is the every other Tuesday Bible study at Roger and Don Rees. Y'all back up yet? Plans to resume on the 21st of this month, Lord willing. If you want to be a part of that, at Roger and Don Rees' house from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And that is on, Tuesdays? Tuesdays, right? It's on Tuesday. If you need more information, you can talk to David. You can talk to Paul Johansson. They're currently doing a study in the book of Daniel. So I'm sure you'd enjoy being a part of that. A lot of things going on around here. As always, if you need to meet or if you need a room or something for a meeting, please let us know because there's a lot of things that are taking place in and around our facility these days. And have I forgotten anything that I need to mention? Yes.
School.
Fantastic. Now, for those of you all who didn't hear that, those of you watching online, the ladies are in the process of planning their fall beach trip. And they have an interest sheet. They were passed out in Sunday school, but if you do not have one of those, you can see Miss Marcia. Marcia, wave your hand. That's Marcia or Mari right over here. Mari's got a whole handful of them. They really want to get those back by next week. So that means that you need to commit. If you say you're going to pray about it, God's already going to let you know because he knows what the deadline is. So most of y'all don't have to pray about it. You know it's going to be a great opportunity. I know they do a Bible study, and they have just a great time of being able to be together. So far, we haven't had to go bail them out or anything out of jail, so that's a good thing. See Marcia or Mari about the... do you know when? What month y'all talking about in the fall? Okay. First or second part of October is when they're planning on going. Again, more information, see Mari or Marcia. Don't forget to pick your bottles up. Pastor David, come on up here if you give us anything we need to know, and then get us on out of here, because we might even get out just a sprinkling early. So take Mama out. Y'all have a good time.
In light of homecoming last week, I told you we'll be meeting over there around tables for our homecoming meal. And we'll have a service over there. And I said, the meal's going to be catered, but we need to bring desserts. I said, last week, I realized I was told that was a sin to tell you that everybody didn't need to bring a dessert. So I'm going to repent today and say everybody needs to bring two desserts, okay? We're going to have plenty of dessert next week. We'll just try to find a place to put it. We hope you'll sign up. There's a sign-up sheet out there. The sign-up sheet is designed to let us know how many people are coming so we know how much food to prepare, and also give you an opportunity to say, I'm going to bring a pie, a cake, cookies, or whatever. Those of us who like to eat dessert, we'll eat anything. Okay? So anything in the dessert line you bring, we'll be able to handle it. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day, for the opportunity we have to gather together as the family of God and worship. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. Lord, not just our personal mothers, but our children who are mothers, and maybe even our grandchildren who are mothers. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, help us as the family of God to stay in the family of God and teach our children to love you. Bless us as we go from this place today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.